everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness Preview Podcast. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
You know what, Brian? I am very excited. I was sort of like, when this first got announced, as you know, I texted you like, should we even do it this season? Like, very like meh on it. But going through the questions, getting ready to do this preview podcast, honestly, I'm glad we're doing it this season because I am now more jazzed for this season than I was 5 hours ago before I had done any research for this. How are you?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's fun to get a little distraction. I think, you know, there's not much else going on that could provide a level of enjoyment. I'm sure we'll have a change of tunes when we're on our third episode of maybe 2.5 hours. I'm excited. I was going through the cast. I'm excited to see some newbies, the returnees. There's a lot of people I'm excited to see, so should be a good one.
Yeah, this is obviously a terrible time everyone's going through, so we figured we have extra time and everyone can use some extra content. So we will be previewing this cast, which MTV did not give us a lot to work with. Luckily, we're experts in the field, but ooh.
Yeah. It would be funny if they had to actually write full bios, like what they would potentially still look to write about, like Bananas or CT. Like, here on the 20th season, here's another fun fact that you may not know about CT and Bananas. But I guess for some of the new people, it would have been nice to have some level of information, especially if you're not familiar with some of the shows that they're coming from.
So since we don't have a lot to break down as far as the material about these contestants, because for the most part, everyone tuning in knows who I would say 80% of the cast is. We have some quote unquote veterans and rookies. I hate the distinction. It's like ridiculous that Big T is a veteran, but whatever. And not just to hate on Big T, like almost everyone on this season is listed as a veteran. It irks me, but let's really break down beat by beat what little material we have. First of all, I want to ask you what you think of the title Challenge Total Madness.
So do we think that for, as opposed to last season, this is actually the title, or do you think we're going to hear a lot of dubs throughout the entire season of what the alternate title would have been? I think this is it, though.
There was a rumor that this was supposed to be War of the Worlds 3, right? So maybe there is.
Oh, boy. it's fine. I like when the title had some meaning to the theme. I mean, I guess if the theme is just total madness, then it's fine. But, you know, it doesn't move the needle one way or the other.
Yeah, I hated it and was like, it should be War of the Worlds 3. That would be better than this. Like, I don't understand. It's like a total give up. Now I love it. It's like I Mitch watched myself on the title and now I love it. I think it's I do love it. I think it's fun, but I agree it gives us nothing to work with. We have a question related to that. So Jeremy Hamilton says, what are your predictions / hopes for the game format this season? While the title doesn't give us a lot and MTV has not given us a lot, is there anything we can speculate on that we might see this season format wise?
So I guess one of the bigger questions is what type of format the challenges are in. I think it's clear, obviously, like eliminations and probably the final are individual. But do we think it'll be like a free agents type thing where they're going to be moved together between teams, pairs, individual, or do you think it's always gonna be individual? Like, what do you think? Like, how do you view like the daily challenges or weekly challenges going?
Yeah, zero idea. And maybe it'll shift around, like we've seen that before, that it'll, you know, oscillate, but between like larger teams and individual and pairs. But my real thing I want to talk about here is like what we just glossed over of the biggest twist ever and how the eliminations are going to be, because that's what we actually do know, right? Yep. So this is TJ clearly had a lot to do with the format this season, and he said he's sick of watching people just skate to the final.
Yeah, he wants people to earn their stripes. Got to win to get in.
So what do you think of this, that you will not be able to go to the final unless you win an elimination?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind when people avoided eliminations, because I think that's part of the game, is building a strong alliance with you to avoid you going in. It's like, especially if there's like an individual type thing where if you perform poorly enough, you have to go in like automatically or something like that. So I never minded someone avoiding eliminations, but I guess this will be interesting because I guess probably people look to time their eliminations to go up against the weak people, or it could create situations where you're saving weak people still. So, I mean, I guess it adds a different dynamic, but I wasn't craving this to be added.
I tend to agree with you. I feel like we saw something you're describing. And what was the one where they were in the shelter and then they had to like earn their stripes to be with the big dogs? What season was that?
I think it was The Island, right? That was my first one that I remember.
No. Like recently. Like
Invasion?
Wasn't 30 or something? Challenge.
Is that Invasion of the Champs when they were all in the shelter, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't care. You guys either know what I'm talking about or you don't. Don't at me. I don't care. But basically, when you had to win an elimination to get out of the shelter, I feel like that's something similar where people wanted to go in against weaker people. Like, if it does end up with, like, people, you know, calling out the newer people all the time, just earning an easy check to the final, I don't want to see that. Like, I'm not interested in that outcome either. But I do think the gameplay has changed a little bit. People are a little bit less afraid to take out major threats. And there aren't that many layups here. You know, look, we're going to talk about the cast one by one, but I do think it could yield some interesting results because there aren't really that many people to weed out and to, quote unquote, layups. But I am worried about CT here. That's the person I think is most going to suffer from this.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's going to be one of those that's going to have to pick his spot. He can't be finding himself in elimination against like Jordan and hoping to make it. He's going to have to find the right time to navigate this role. Because, yeah, last season he was kind of like the right place at the right time the entire season, and it worked out well. But, yeah, he probably won't have the same fortune this time around.
It's also going to really have to be the right elimination. Like, not only the right partner, but, like, you know, brute strength. Weight is going to have to help out. Like, he's not going to be outrunning anyone.
Yeah. And I think another part that will play a big factor, as it always does, is just at, like, the format of voting. Like, is it where, like, the winner gets to pick one and then everyone else votes? Is there a loser that goes in? So there's obviously other formatting stuff that'll play a big factor into how voting is happens and how you can get by and stuff like that. So that's also another key factor that we'll have to see what the rules are.
Let's, like, keep going through, if you don't mind, before we get to the actual players, the break down the full extended trailer that we got to see, because that's really all they gave us. TJ does say that this did yield at least one good result for him. He said in his entire challenge career, mm-hmm. he's been waiting for these two guys to face off. Who do we think these two guys are?
Nelson and Corey, obviously, right? Isn't that the matchup we're all we're waiting to see?
You got me on that one. I did not expect you to say that.
No, I mean, I assume it's some combination of CT, West, Bananas, like, put those three and toss two of them, and then that's the matchup he wants to see, right?
Yeah, I really went in on this one because I was like, all right, it's not Jordan and Bananas because Jordan and Bananas have gone against each other before in free agents. West and Bananas did face off in Joe's versus Pros, according to YouTube, but I do still think it's them. Like, does Bananas and CT... Bananas backpack count as them having faced off? I know it wasn't for CT to stay in the game mm-hmm. in an elimination, but I feel like you can't really say you've been waiting your entire career for them to face off when their face off was the most iconic gift in challenge history.
Right. And I think they have a vague, I think they faced off like in pairs and rivals as a key point, or even like another chat, like a puzzle part near the final. So I think they're probably all at some point to face each other. It's just, I would be stunned if like those three, like in all combinations, have never gone in against each other. I would find that like very surprising at this point.
I think Wes and Bananas have never faced each other in elimination unless it was in the last 2 years.
Okay, well then I guess that has to be it, right?
At least in 2017, I was hoping you would know this, but at least up until 2017, because they say in the Shows versus Pros preview that this was the first time that they've ever faced off.
That's wild that after all that.
No, because Bear sent Wes home in the last one.
Yeah.
Also, Wes hasn't been on as many to either. Like, when I was, the one thing MTV did give us was their amount of challenges they've been on. And it's like, you know, Wes is down 7 challenges from Bananas. Right.
Yeah, he reached the big 2-0. Pretty impressive stuff.
For anyone who's playing along with the drinking game about us, I'm sure people are taking a drink that, like, last season, Wes and Bananas were against each other.
Oh, maybe. I guess that would probably have to be it. But we got to see some clips of eliminations that they're going to do, which I think I saw like the Hall Brawl seemingly in there, some classic ones that will probably get in the mix. So some good teaser there.
Yeah, the monster trucks are back. The cars are back. The action movie stunt mm-hmm. doubling is back and some classic eliminations. So I'm here for that.
And once again, a Zach and Jenna Skype fight, which I feel like has happened every season. Like, they're both never on together. One's on and they always fight somehow they could still fight.
Why is that? Like, Jenna wasn't on last time because she got injured. But why is Zach not on this season? Do we know that?
No, I haven't seen anything that would do it. Maybe he's sort of like work going on. I don't know. But yeah, no, he's not on this one.
Imagine someone having a job. Yeah.
You never know.
I mean, like, is it a spoiler to give an update on their life? Like, to me, the are Zach and Jenna going to break up long distance over a challenge is sort of a very tired, forced storyline. I don't think that's going to last more than one episode.
Yeah, no, that if that, it'll probably last like a scene. And then by the end of the scene, they'll be fine. Yeah, I think them being like engaged and very happily together seems,
all right, I wasn't sure if we were going to say that.
I'm going to say it. They're like, it's all like, if even like, I think if you follow the show at all, you know that they're engaged. I think they got engaged while we were recording last season. So, yeah.
A couple who is probably not going to get engaged, Kayla and Bear, and a largely speculated couple from like spoiler den. I would tell you to not look into this issue. We'll give you all the information that is necessary to know. I'm sure there's more information, but the deeper you dig about Kayla and Bear, the more likely you're going to be to come across a spoiler. Mm. So if you're spoiler-verse, I would not look into that.
Good call.
But let's talk about this, because we get Kayla and Bear making out, and then she is yelling at him, saying she ruined a relationship for someone who doesn't give an F about him. The first thing I want to say about this is Kayla is someone who I've repeatedly complained as being about being one of the main people who will tweet, I don't watch the challenge, or I'm not watching this episode, mm-hmm. but like, feel free to tweet me questions or like, ugh, like, can't be bothered to watch the challenge tonight. I'm not saying she deserves this at all, but maybe if you had tuned in to a show that pays your bills, you would have seen that Bear is not going to give a crap about you. It's probably not worth ending a relationship over.
Maybe she did all this just to prove that she actually was not watching, because maybe people thought she like actually was, and I was just lying about it. So this would be definitive proof. If she really didn't know what type of person Bear was, this would show that, yeah, she really just does not watch the show that she is a part of.
So let's dig a little deeper into this with Bear and Kayla. Kayla was in a relationship with Mikey P, who is oft credited as being on MTV's From G's to Gents. Did I watch the show? Absolutely. Would I still want to be credited in 2020 for being on that show? No. But Mikey P is like on the like C-list reality shows. He was on Naked Dating, and he was on Juicy Jets.
Wow, what a compliment.
He was on one other like B-list show, I forget. But they've been together like three years. They were living in Vegas. They were an Instagram perfect couple. And then disaster struck. Rumors came back about Kayla and Bear while they were still taping the season. Here's what I have. Here's what I dug it. Get my spyglass emoji out.
I got
So rumors swirled that they had hooked up because Kayla posted a picture wearing a ring that Bear is known to be wearing. And Bear posted pictures of like Kayla's very identifiable tattooed arm in the pictures. People are like, what's that about? Why are they together? And Davon speculated that it was Davon. A PR stunt.
Davon's got to be in the mix.
Jemmy chimed in.
She's also got to be in the mix.
Not a PR stunt, but that she can't speak to things that are not have not aired. Now, I also feel that way, Jemmy. I can't speak to things that have not aired. But also, like, I got this information from a variety of great pop culture websites. Everybody has written about this, and that covers like the MTV beat. Okay.
I guess we cover the MTV beat, right?
Yeah, we do. We're no press.
Yeah.
So that's a real throwback. All right. So then Mikey tweeted after the show had filmed, like, to answer a couple questions, I have no idea what's going on at all. I'm as lost as you. Kayla and I have so many amazing times together over the past 3/4 years. I would never talk bad on any of that or her. No one is trying to be an ex on the anything. Flat face, eyes open emoji. Not to be confused with the flat face, flat eyes emoji. And Kayla responded, can we not make this a public spectacle? This is no one's business but ours. You act like I haven't contacted you at all, and that is not the case. I've told you time and time again that we will talk when you and I are both back in Vegas. That's the last I'll say on that. And Mikey responded to that like, me? Question mark. It's like, imagine cheating on your boyfriend on television and then telling him not to make it a public spectacle.
Great logic.
Recently in February, though, Kayla did tweet that Mikey cheated on her the entire relationship. Mind your business. So
was that your addition or did she say that?
No, she said mind your business. Okay. I don't editorialize in the tweets. Come on, I'm a journalist.
Of course.
Not really. So interestingly enough, Kayla has left Vegas. She moved to Florida with Nani and Marie. And it's actually very entertaining to follow Marie and their antics on social media. Okay. So they're living in like basically Boca with each other. And
El Boca Vista.
Kayla, since January. Now, Brian, you need to be, if you're really going to cover the challenge, you need to be watching X on the Beach, Peak of Love, because Kayla has been dating Sam Bird, who is from Love Island, UK, who appeared on X on the Beach, Peak of Love, since January. Now, Kayla did not meet him on X on the Beach because she was not on it. Ironically, this is the funniest thing. People accused her and Mikey of fake breaking up to be on X on the Beach, and she responded that she'd rather light herself on fire than ever be on that show. Now she's dating someone from that show, which is really the sweetest thing of all of this.
I need like a cork bird, a cork board to like follow all this stuff.
Well, I know. It's like I'm Charlie Day, like yeah. The red string. But I am upset because I thought I cracked this case. I took a screen grab of a Kayla tweet because she retweeted a video with him in it recently. And then he tweeted, like, just my luck. I've had a girlfriend for a few months and now I'm banned from her country. And I was like, literally me with the red string. And then it like apparently it was very public since January. So I was proud of myself.
Good job by you.
Okay. So that's what we're going to see unravel. To give the background and the flash forward on what's going on, I think to come into the season, all you really need to know is that Bear is a notorious like cheater and manipulator and hooks up with everyone on these shows. And Kayla was in a 3-year, but now as she expresses, unhappy relationship. But that's a danger of putting on Instagram and social media that like your relationship's perfect, because then when you cheat on your boyfriend on national television, people are like, what happened? You guys were perfect. So maybe watch the show you're on. That's it.
Yeah, there's no hiding. No hiding this for Kayla. This is all coming home to roost.
So I want to talk about the living situation, how they're in a bunker. But maybe we should stay on topic and talk about the hookups that were shown. What do you think?
We could
hookups
try.
Or living situation?
Let's keep on theme with the hookups.
Okay. You know, I paused the trailer and took screenshots to figure out who was hooking up in this 5-minute promo.
I'm proud of you.
You know I'm not going to just let a hookup go by and not know exactly who that is.
Proud of you.
Okay? And I took the screenshots because there's one person I cannot identify, and I thought maybe I would send it to you and see if you can identify it.
I got my phone ready.
Unless, do you need... Well, I'm going to email it to you.
Okay, I got my email ready.
Do you need... I'm actually going to send it via smoke signal.
I got my window open.
I was like going to have to ask you for your email, but maybe not on the podcast. Okay, let me just go to the account that would have your email saved.
Did you email ask for the social also?
Wouldn't it be awkward if I was like, I don't have your number saved, Brian. Could give it
new
to
season.
Me.
Who dis?
Okay. Sending this to Brian, making for excellent podcasting. All right, but let's talk. We're going to talk about the first couple first, give you some time to focus on who the person in the red bandana is in this photo. But the first hookup we see is Nani and coming to you straight out of Israel, stopping first on Are You the One and the Are You the One game show that happened after Are You the One, whose name escapes me, Second Chances, whatever. Asaf.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to butcher his name, Asaf, and Nani locking lips in the preview. Dear God, Nani, what are you thinking?
I mean, if this is not. Sometimes you need like a constant in the world through all the chaos, and just having Nani in this world hooking up with someone like Asa. It's just what we need, and just, you know, this brings us back to reality. The world is still normal.
Speaking of constants, I knew you were going to say something to that effect. All right,
this is our 11th season, so.
Can't wait. Is this our 11th season?
I look back, I saw Free Agents was season 25.
You shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And not even
Are You the
Ones,
Are
You the One?
Yeah. Tack on a few more Jesus. Are You the Ones. We're, you know, we're about to have a Sweet 16 for our podcasting season.
Can't even talk about that. Okay. Now, you've had plenty of time to look over. The woman in this photo is D.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Unless it's somehow Kayla and Bear, but I think it's D, because then they go to a photo of Rogan like looking pissed, which I'm sure like didn't even happen, but
it almost could be Maddie. No, I think it's probably D, but it's, so it seems like it's D.
I think it's D.
Isn't that Kyle?
Okay. I think it's Kyle. I think the hair is weird, which means it might be Kyle. The other thing based on the hair, this is someone
plus
in a red
tattoo.
Bandana with. Is that, are those his tattoos? That almost looks like someone just scrawled it on with a pen.
It could be. It could
Does
be.
He not have his hands tattooed?
I mean, just like the bandana, the hair. It seems like Kyle.
I agree. I think it's most likely Kyle, except this person looks shorter than Kyle, but he is doing a significant amount of crouching.
Well, it is a club scene, so one could be sitting. It could be like on heels. There could be things going on.
All right. Also, good for D. I would never promote someone hooking up with Kyle, but I'm happy to see D hooking up with someone who's not Rogan.
Yes. I really hope that there's no rebound or bounce back situation there between them two.
Can I pull up the question? See, I'm really out of practice. I can't pull these questions up as quickly as I used to. I might not have pulled it because like Rogan and D discuss me, but it was someone asked. I'm sorry I didn't pull it. I'll get better. Somebody asked if Rogan and D like have any chance to be like working together. What do you think about that?
I think there's probably a better chance of them just maybe trying to work together than getting back into any type of romantic situation. I don't see that happening. I could see them at least in the beginning of the game not going after each other and trying to maybe keep like a UK type alliance together or something like that in the beginning. But long term, I don't see D sticking by him long term.
Which is so fun because D's from Australia, but like will forever
right.
be
that's
the
UK.
UK team.
Yep, exactly.
As will CT. But but yeah, I think D showed that she'll like get jerked around by someone, but like do what's best for her game wise. Like I mean, I think she did forgive Rogan without really understanding what happened last season, but I think D would end up being loyal to Rogan and we'll all like shake our fists in frustration. So I'm happy to see this clip of her Mackin' it,
mm-hmm.
even if it is with Kyle.
Is Mackin' it back?
I don't know. Don't ask me if anything's back.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't heard that in a while.
All right. Let's talk about the living situation and then we'll shift gears and I'll be quiet. But is there anything also I missed in the trailer you wanted to talk about?
No. Let's talk about the bunker.
All right. Let's talk about the bunker.
So they're living with no doors, no windows, no natural light, undergrounds. Probably, you know, might be a good place to be right now. But yeah, that's their living situations.
What do you think about this?
I think, it, you know, it probably adds stuff to the first couple episodes. But again, I don't know what it adds long term. Like with them being able to like swim in a pool and do laps, like taking away from the game. Right? And that sometimes added drama because people weren't working out and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't need them to be in a bunker for this to escalate gameplay or something like that.
I agree. I absolutely hate this. My first reaction was also sort of like, I hope this doesn't go the whole time. I don't see any value in like putting them in like mentally compromising situations. Like maybe this is the total madness. Like you're going to go mad. Like I don't need to put them in like, you know, padded rooms and to emphasize the drama. I want them to be in like a mansion, drinking, having fun in like sexy situations for the social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to compete in the game. I don't want them to be full-time living in basically like a final situation
yeah.
where they're like in a highly pressurized, stressful environment.
No, I think if they want to use this as like the losers go there or like for a certain amount of time you go there or something like that, but like long, for 24/7, I I think by like middle of the season, we're going to forget that they're there and it's not even going to be a storyline. I'm just going to wish that we weren't watching sunlight.
Can we just like have a little fun? I know everyone takes a challenge so seriously now, especially because there's no more sports, but like, can we just have a little bit of fun, please? I don't need them in a cage.
No, we don't need cages.
All right. Before we get to talking about the people, we got this question from Nicole Horn, who, Brian, what are you doing? I'm going out to the people. I'm meeting the people at Kalish's Fantasyland, and I'm bringing them to the challenge. Nicole Horn asks, this is going to be my first challenge season. I'm very scared.
What is a Fantasyland? Where's my agent on this?
Do you have advice or like what I should expect as a first time viewer? Now, I can't say that Nicole is only tuning in because we've met. I'm assuming she's tuning in because of the Big Brother people. But Brian, what are you giving to it? What are you doing to increase the audience of this podcast?
I'm doing literally nothing. I'm tweeting about it every like 7 days. I think that's usually my goal. Let me toss up a challenge tweet. That usually does pretty well. That's how I expand my audience.
I'm taking it to the streets. I'm bringing in listeners. I'm taking credit for the listeners that Fessy and Bailey and Swaley are bringing in.
You know how people hold up signs like, oh, we're all on this together, we'll get through this. Maybe I'll just hold up a sign that says, watch the challenge Wednesday nights and then listen to RHAP. That's how I'll
we don't need people. Them to watch the challenge.
Just listen to RHAP. Only our podcast, but if you want others too.
We're going to talk about the influx of a Survivor person and BB people and Amazing Race people. But Nicole, I think, is asking a question that I meant to start out the show with, but then we got rolling and I didn't want to derail the rolling on the trailer talk. So let's talk about this. What, Brian, can you do to ease Nicole's fears of jumping in the season for the first time?
So you just have to. Don't take the show too seriously. You're going to not understand some of the past relationships and what leads to some of the decision making. Just go along for the ride. You'll have fun with it. Just take it for what it is. Don't want it to be so structured and rigid because the rules are not going to make sense. You're not going to know what's going on. They might change episode to episode. So just don't take any of that too seriously. Just watch it for the chaos that it is and enjoy that fun.
I think that's very good advice. I have told people I've met in person who are like, oh, I don't watch the challenge, so I don't listen to your podcast. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. So if anybody else, in addition to Nicole, is giving the challenge a try, you're welcome for doing this preview podcast. I think this will help. I think we'll try to map some of the relevant relationships. As Brian said, it's 20 seasons long, some of these relationships. So these go back decades. You don't need to know all of it. MTV likes to kind of tell you the history, so they will tell you what's important to know.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, look, Brian and I have not come in new to the challenge recently, so it's hard for us to really assess what you need to know. But a lot of new viewers have started recently, and I haven't heard any complaints. So just, you know, come along with us, and we'll try to, as the episodes go by, like be like, oh, this would have been good to know, yada, yada. We'll get it wrong, but we'll say it.
Yeah, and I think editors of reality shows are doing a really good job of the flashbacks. I've seen it with Bravo shows on like Vanderpump and stuff like that. The shows really are doing a good job of doing nice callbacks to like key moments to like make new watchers like understand what's going on. So when there's key moments that need to be flashback to, I trust MTV will do it because they've been doing it recently.
And is there anything, she didn't ask this, which I'm offended by, but is there anything, Brian, that we need to tell new listeners of our podcast what they might be in for if they didn't, in the last 26 minutes, glean enough information?
Yeah, I would say this is probably the only time we're both going to be on the same time. So just prepare for that.
No. Why are you saying that? I have no plans to leave my apartment anytime soon, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know. What else? Chaos on our podcast too. Just don't take it for too much structure and rigidity and just enjoy it for what it is.
We don't know the most. We also don't claim to know the most, but you know, we were here relatively early and you know, we're like your grandmother, like just like throw us a bone.
Yeah.
How many more? I just aged us from aunt to grandma.
Well, congrats to one of our nephews that had a kid. Or I guess our kid that had a kid. Right, that's how that would work.
I think Cohen Brian is that child.
I wonder how he's doing.
I don't stop and wonder. Although Amanda, congratulations to Amanda, challenge veteran.
Yeah, having a kid.
Who had a baby had a since we last spoke. Her name was not Lasher Allison, but
is it Cohen Bryan with a C? Calling it correctly?
It is not. Okay. All right. Should we talk about these people, or you know, honestly, I think we gave enough. We gave what MTV gave. Like that's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, is there anything more before that, or are we actually at the that?
I think we're at the that, but I'm suggesting we just end the podcast now. And why do more work than MTV did? You know?
Yeah, they certainly didn't spell out anything in their bios.
All right, I don't really know. We talked offline about how we were going to do this. I don't know really where we came down on, so I'm going to let you decide on the air live right. How we're going to do this.
Well, each say someone we're super excited about. Then we'll say someone that we're not excited about. And then we'll say someone that were surprises there.
All right, so yeah, people were like, who are you most excited to see? Blah, 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 blah. Rather than going alphabetical, we'll do it like this. And if you don't understand, that's the breaks, mm-hmm. kids.
That's the breaks. We'll get the all 28 people in some order, no matter what. So we're all getting all people.
Oh, geez, 28 people.
28 people.
Okay. Brian, who are you most excited to see? And let's not suggest that this is like in order of who's the most excited.
Right.
Unless you want to throw this out as your number one.
No, I kind of just like, I was going through the cast list, I was tossing them in buckets. I didn't have any particular ranking or order. But for me, I'm so happy that Jordan is still 100% back in this world. So going forward, he's always going to be the person I'm most excited to see because I think he has the best chance to win. He adds so much stuff. There's so much drama and strategy, and he's going to be a huge target this season. So him being back and fully back and continually coming back, I'm super excited that the original future of the challenge has now become the future of the challenge.
Yeah, I was going to, as you were going through this, I was like, oh God, he's going to call him the future of the challenge and then he's going to quit again. We have a couple people you've called the future of the challenge to talk about this season. So the curse is broken maybe with this season. I too had Jordan on my list of most excited to see. Jordan is chaos. Jordan is not someone who plays these like historic alliances and relationships. Jordan is flexible. He's insane. He's wild. He's a true athlete in every sense of the word. He also comes on. Maybe we'll throw Tori here. I'll throw Tori in as my most excited to see so we could talk about them together maybe. Tori was also on my list. They got engaged. They have a wedding to pay for. They are the perfect yin and yang. I think they're very fun to watch on and off the challenge on social media. I don't have enough good things to say about them. Interestingly, though, I feel like a lot of Jordan's main enemies are not here in Pauly and Kara.
Yeah, I think, though, he's not going to. Well, first of all, he's very quick to make enemies, so I don't doubt that.
Fair enough.
But also, he's just going to have such a gigantic target on his back for the entire season that he could have people that like him that are still going to be at least in the back of their mind contemplating how do we get him out.
And I mean, they'd be stupid not to, but tell me, you know, show me a person who wants to go against Tori or Jordan in an elimination.
No, it's very true. It's very true.
They're probably going to benefit the most for any new viewers or people who watch the show like me and can't remember shit. Jordan and Tori had to like win out all the time last year as they were like the main targets on the UK team after switching and even when they're on the US team. So they're no strangers to elimination. They're going to be fearless when it comes to going in eliminations. Hopefully they don't have hubris, which Jordan tends to have. But I'm excited. I mean, they are the rare powerhouse that's not afraid of competition. Whereas Bananas, it is strategy. I agree that avoiding elimination is strategy. Plays more of a scared game than Jordan does.
Yeah, no, I'd agree.
100%. And so does Wes. And so that's not just like an anti-Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's very true.
I'm scared just watching at home. I'm playing a scared watching game. All right, so who are you least excited to see? Positive to negative?
Yeah. So this is, unfortunately, she went straight there the second I saw. Not that I don't like her. She's very pleasant, but she just doesn't like add anything anymore. And that's Jenna. I'm sorry. She's just there. She had a lot of promise her first couple seasons. Seemed like she was this great competitor. She hasn't really done much lately. All it seems like we're going to get the classic episode of her getting in a fight with Zach, and then that'll be the end of it. So I love you, Jenna. She's very sweet, nice, but I'm not craving to see more Jenna.
This is amazing to me because talk about the evolution through how many seasons I already forgot. Did you say we've done 11 seasons of the challenge?
This is 11.
Like, what an evolution for you to say you're not excited to see Jenna back.
I know.
She
first came on, like, I mean, it's sad. Like, she at first she was a nothing on the Real World. I didn't really care about her. Then she came on the challenge and she's great. And now she, you know, it's the peak. We reached the peak and now she's flattening out. We flattened the curve with Jenna.
I do think her and Nani haven't gotten that much FaceTime in terms of, like, their friendship and them being on the show together in recent seasons. But I agree. She was in my everyone else. We didn't talk about this, but we both ended up having sort of like a throwaway, like, ugh, like they don't fit into any category. We're not offended by them, but we're also not excited. She was in that category. So I think that's fine to put her here.
Yeah.
My least excited to see, and this is not my most least excited to see, but I imagine that this season will be the last season that he's in this bucket for me. But one more time, I'm putting Josh in my least excited to see category.
Yeah, that's just, you know, I thought I had him like hovering of where because I wouldn't expect to be excited, but I think Josh had like a very impressive showing last season, so I'm excited to see if he can replicate that. So I guess I am sort of excited to see him back.
So for people who are just joining us or who have forgotten, Josh went from being like, for me personally, like the bottom of the barrel in terms of challenge contestants, like the drama felt manufactured with him and Gus, like the relationships he pursued felt manufactured. He wasn't that good in the challenges. I think last season was really like a renaissance for him. He was sort of like, he was a very good narrator. I think he was a good foil with Polly and Kara. The Georgia thing somehow worked out for him and like became from nauseating to fine. I need one more season. Right now I still have the gut instinct of like, is he really adding stuff? I think he'll be good on the season, but I had to honor my gut reaction.
That's
come
fair.
For me if you must.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah. So for me, for surprise, almost anyone that's a rookie this season is surprised because I didn't expect, like, I didn't know where they would be. Like, we've reached the point in the show where we don't know where they're going to get people. It's not like we can expect from the Real World and stuff like that. So almost all the rookies I just haven't surprised and kind of excited to see between the Big Brother people. I guess like the Amazing Race person, I don't really know who she is, so that's like a, I guess, surprise or not excited, but all the rookies for me are in the surprising bucket.
Are you actually just picking all of the rookies?
That's what I'm taking. I'm taking all of them.
No, you can't take all the rookies. It's not fun.
Fine, I'll start.
Because I don't have them all in surprise. So like, let's shake it up.
For surprise, I'll start with the two surprise that I'm excited to see, and that's Swaggy and Bailey. I think those are pretty good picks from that season.
These surprises are excited. Play by the rules one time. That's why we can't do a draft.
I'm surprisingly excited.
So then talk about them in the next round. Who are you surprised to
see? Surprised.
All right, whatever. I unsurprisingly had them in least excited to see. And I also grouped Bailey, Swaggy, and Fessy together. But
so
I expected to talk about them individually. But let's talk about them as a trio at least. I think Kaylee maybe belongs elsewhere. Do you want to? We could talk about all four of them.
Sure, we'll talk about them individually together.
Here's why I'm not excited to see Bailey, Swaggy, and Fessy, because I'm a hater. But also, like, they were like not. People are gonna come for me. The Big Brother fans are gonna come for me, and I don't care.
Big Brother fans are very rational and level headed. They don't react poorly or over the top to anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Swaggy and Bailey are insane. So for anyone who didn't want, and so is Fessy, they were part of like the least successful alliance their season, Faute, which I found out is a valid Words with Friends word.
Wow. Today.
There's no definition, but it is valid. Bailey and Swaggy got engaged after the show. They're still together. They're actually married. They got secretly married. They now have plans to get married in May. I actually am really sad for them. I hope it doesn't get canceled. I hope we're all free of all of this situation by then. Unfortunately, maybe that won't be the case. So I do feel bad for them. I'm not a monster. Maybe it will be like Polly. Look, I have to just honor my truth. I have to live my truth like Caitlin would tell me to do. But to me, I didn't love them on Big Brother. Fessy is an athletic, how do we describe it? He's like an athletic dude.
He's a goofball.
He's what?
He's a goofball.
But like, is it fun? Like, I feel like he's just a little,
Does that make it the Words with Friends?
There's not a lot going on between the ears.
And that's okay.
Tall, good looking guy. Was in a relationship.
Is he still with Haley?
No, they broke up. But it was sort of like Bailey and Swaggy and Fessy and Haley were like the couples of the house that season. Maybe this will be a better... I have more excitement for Bailey and Swaggy than I do Fessy. I think Bailey and Swaggy will be like strategizing and outrageous and weird and like become hated, but also make inroads. I have no idea what Fessy is going to bring.
Yeah, I just think we got kind of shortchanged with Swaggy, with him being voted out so quickly. I think his personality could really thrive in this type of environment. I think if he gets his feet under him, he can last a few rounds. I think he can make a name for himself similarly to Paulie. I don't know if he'll have like the success that Paulie has had, for whatever success he's had, but I think this is the realm that Swaggy should be in. And I think Bailey is another just like a strong female competitor that's going to add even more to this crop of female players that we've been adding the last few years. So I think both of them are right for this world.
I think they are very likely to be thrown in, especially given the new format. Like, I think this hurts their chances because Swaggy's an athletic dude, but he's definitely a smaller guy as compared to the like behemoths on the challenge. So I think he might be an easy hit. Like, somebody might put him in earlier than Fessy because just based on size alone.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be the case.
But like Bear, I think he could win out. Like, I don't think he has no athletic ability. I just think he might be an early target because he'll probably be like mouthy and small.
Right. All true. But I think if he gets past that, I think this is his arena to really thrive.
Ugh. Okay. Have you been to Swaggy C's Instagram lately?
No, but I was actually just trying to find it.
Okay, well, I have his bio. I don't have the handle, but I do have his bio. And did you know that Swaggy C is a day trader?
I'm seeing that now. It's probably not the best time to do that.
Not only is he a day trader, but he has an online trading course where he provides a phone number for course information. I obviously went to his website that I forgot to post a link to here, but I think we have a new GUIS.
TheSwagAcademy.com.
Yeah, go to that website for me.
I just clicked it, and it just shut down my phone. No. Yeah, he's got a nice ticker at the top with all, like, you know, some stocks. He's got a mission. Want to know what the mission is?
Please.
We want to enable aspiring traders to learn the Forex market via a fun and easy-to-learn platform with a nice little graphic of, you know, stocks going up and down.
There's nothing that instills confidence in an online financial education tool than it being called the Swag Academy.
Yeah, and of course, you know what the S is.
It's a dollar sign. I've been there.
Of course.
So shout out. Look, shout out to Swaggy's hustle. And if he's supporting himself as a day trader, that's great. But I don't know that it's worth $700 or whatever to do a one-on-one coaching.
Yes, but it's $750. But the last point is huge and probably makes it worth it. You get a free shirt. So, I mean, you get a free Swaggy C shirt. So I don't know. That's probably worth $750. So get all this for
fun. I will say that Swaggy has the entrepreneurial spirit. He is like one of the main people who came into the Big Brother house already with branded merchandise ready to go. Everybody was wearing Swaggy C crap. And so are we going to see more Swaggy merchandise on the season of the challenge?
Oh, I'm sure if he's there for like a costume thing, he'll probably dress up as a giant sea or something like that. So he'll be ready to go.
Bailey also, to her credit, got in one of the craziest fights on the show where she like bit her tongue during a fight on Big Brother. So her mouth was like bleeding. So like imagine challenge level rage, but like blood is dripping out of your mouth during it.
No. So, yeah, I am. Surprised to see them there because I just didn't know what they would keep going down this road, who they'd be picking. But yeah, I'm excited to see them.
Did you say anything about Fessy? Where are you at with Fessy?
Yeah, I mean, Fessy, I mean, he probably, of all like the people, that he probably has the best chance of doing the best just because of his athletic nature, how big, and it's seemingly he should be pretty good at this stuff. But yeah, I don't know what he's going to add elsewhere because he's just, you know, he's not the most charismatic guy. He's not the most smart guy. So I don't know what he's going to add in other areas, but like we always say, we want a wide ranging grouping of people. We don't want everyone to fit in certain buckets for the show. So he'll fit the, you know, not the Joss bucket, I guess, for the season.
See, Fessy is the archetype that I have no time for. Like, I just don't think he's going to be good at relationship building. I don't, although he was good at relationship building a Big Brother, I don't think he's going to be good enough at challenges to intimidate. I think I think he will go the way of Elfitvic, of Victor, where like he's on and you're sort of like, I guess that makes sense. He's athletic and like he was fired on Big Brother. So like, I understand the casting. And then he does like passable in a few challenges and goes home early. Like that's where, and we never hear or see from him again. Like that's my prediction.
Yeah, definitely in the range of outcomes.
Let's talk about, well, that's a low bar. Anything is him being on the show is in the range of outcomes. Let's talk about Casey, also from Big Brother.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's kind of like, I would say the female Fessy, right? She's not going to be much in anything other than she'll probably be pretty good at some of the challenges.
I just think she'll be better than Fessy. And I think women will be more intimidated by her than the men will be by Fessy.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, for sure. Because Casey's not like an overwhelming physical specimen, so she should be able to slide a little bit by like that. But she obviously
no. I'm saying I think people will be more intimidated. Women will be more intimidated by Casey than the men will be intimidated by Fessy.
I think Fessy will be the bigger target going in. I think if you don't really watch, if you don't watch Casey's season of Big Brother, I don't know why you would think she'd be some, you know, great athlete or anything like that. So I think people will definitely be looking at Fessy more for that.
Oh, I think she has a very athletic build, and then her sort of archetype, right, comes out of the like Evelyn and the Laurel and the Nicole, just like this fit woman, and like not like to me, Nani's not going against Casey. Like Jenna doesn't want to call out Casey, but we'll see. And she strikes me as a very physical looking woman. But I don't know. Like personality wise, I don't think she'll add a lot. I think in terms of where she was at with Big Brother, for anyone who didn't watch Big Brother, she was in like the very tight 6-person alliance that made it all the way to the end. Her game is sort of, her brand is like loyalty and all those boring things. She's athletic and she's loyal and she can stick with a big group to the end. So kind of a yawn. We'll see how the challenge house like shakes her up.
Yeah. I just was on Swag's Instagram. I found my way over to Caitlin Herman's. And it's amazing how much she looks like Jessica from Love is Blind that I just can't like unsee it anymore. Like they're so similar.
No, you shouldn't unsee it. It's wild.
It's crazy. And they're like the same personality too. They are like the same person, but Jessica's like, what, 10 years old? So like, it's like feature her.
All right, so let's get out of the negativity. Or, well, I guess maybe that covers my surprise to see too. I don't know. That was a whole whirlwind. So let's not go too far within the rules. Let's go to, we'll move to your most excited to see.
Yeah, this will be a little bit surprising because I feel like I haven't been that nice to her in the past, but like I'm excited to have Anissa back. I think, you know, she's been off for a little while. I think,
wow,
like, you know, there's a whole new crop of like young like women in this. I think having like an old veteran and Anissa to try to like, I mean, she's going to have her veteran like quips and stuff like that. I think having her in the mix with this group could be fun. So I kind of like this little throwback of having her back.
I know I never remember anything, but I do recall debating you on whether or not Anissa added anything to the challenge.
I think this is like another perfect example of if you go away for a few seasons, no matter basically who you are outside of like, you know, if you're an extreme racist, people will miss you and be happy that you're back. So I think Anissa being back is fun.
So this is interesting. I had her as surprised to see. I am surprised to see her back. I know she was pursuing another degree or a higher education of some sort. Maybe she finished that up and is back. I'm not sure where she sort of is at, although Anissa is kind of good at letting us know where she's been up to, so I'm sure we will find out. It's Anissa's 13th challenge, which really blew me away. That's like the same number of challenges as Wes. I have been higher historically in our podcast on Anissa. I'm sort of like, did Anissa miss the boat? I would be very happy, elated for you to be right on this and her to really add that veteran quippy perspective, like the Jemmy Anissa role. I would be thrilled for that. I hope that's true. That's not my expectation going in.
Yeah, I just think it's fun to have someone like her as opposed to a lot of these I know she's back, but like a Melissa that's really only there for like drama and stuff like that. So I think having her there is like a balance. I think it's fun.
I don't know where she's going to sort of like find end roads with this group. I also don't know that while she is the powerhouse in eliminations, I think she's someone that's going to continue to be a target if it is the case that people get some say and like people arrange like, okay, mm-hmm. I want to go against someone weaker earlier on so that I can cash my ticket to the final. Let's throw Nani up in here. I don't know where you had her. I had her in my everyone else category.
You know, I had her not excited to see, but then when you described her hooking up with Asaf and I was like, this is what we need. Then I got excited to see her because it feels right having her in this world doing exactly what she's done every season since she's been on the show. She doesn't change. She's every time she's like, I have to change. Like I have to be better than who I've been. And every season she comes on, she's the exact same person. And I just respect that. And I just am happy that she's part of this life.
So yeah, the tea on Nani is just like, Nani's a true veteran of the game. Nani has never won, correct?
No.
Nani is very close with Bananas, but it's tumultuous. And like, we never really know who's got Nani's back. She had mainly drama with Leroy last season. He's not back. We won't see that. So who knows where Nani will fit in the season. But the reason I bring her up with Anissa is because we got a question from Jordan Spencer. Between Anissa and Nani, who have yet to win, okay, it's confirmed, which one is more likely to ever win or make it to the end? They both have what the other needs. Nani is decent in the daily challenges, but mediocre in eliminations, while Anissa is decent in the eliminations, but mediocre in the daily challenge.
I would say Nani's is most likely to make it to the end, right? That was because I don't think either of them can win, but make it to the end. I would say Nani, because Nani, I would say, because she's been on more recently, would at least have more people to have her back that she could reach. I feel like Anissa, which I'm excited to see Anissa. I'm not expecting her to be there much longer than a few weeks, but because she doesn't really have anyone on her side. At least Nani will, I think, have some people in the mix protecting her.
Yeah, I think Nani, I agree with that take. I think Nani is most likely to make it to the end on a normal season. I think maybe Anissa is more likely in this elimination. Like, I think Nani could very easily get knocked out in an elimination. Or would be someone who would be a target also in eliminations in this format, depending on how it works out. But Nani does have more protectors. She also is more willing to mix it up. Like, I think we even saw that on last season. Like, Nani will mix it up with the new people too and play ball there. And for some reason, I don't think like Bananas will get mad at her for doing that. So I think she'll get protection from both sides in a way, which I think makes her stronger over Anissa overall.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you making paper mache over there? What's going on?
I'm not doing anything. I scratched my nose. I guess it got picked up by the phone.
All right. So that was your most excited to see.
Yes.
I'm going to pull out someone we talked about or we alluded to earlier as being someone who you have called the future of the challenge, who then went away for a little bit, who is now back. I'm going to pull out Corey. This is his seventh challenge. Thank you, MTV, for providing that. It's no surprise to listeners. I'm a big fan of the Corey, Cheyenne, Ryder K family. I don't watch Teen Mom, but I do follow them all very closely on Instagram. And I told myself during Teen Mom just premiered last week, so I figured I will watch it while I'm in quarantine.
Saying very Corey, enthusiastically.
I think Corey's a good athlete. We'll see how his knees do, but he's fun and he's funny. And I like his, I like his little quips. He released one of the funniest, I just flipped the switch memes I've ever seen. Check that out on his Instagram. A couple life updates from Corey for anyone not following or stalking as closely as I am. Corey was dating Taylor from X on the Beach. They broke up. They're back together. She is now pregnant with a girl. And so Corey will be having a second child with Taylor, second MTV baby. A la Tony Raines.
Thank you for saying that, by the way, because something really just clicked my brain. I've been trying to figure out who that new girl from Vanderpump Rules looks like, that blonde girl. She looks like Taylor. Oh, I finally figured it out. Oh. All right.
Okay.
We can continue.
So So I'm happy to see Corey back. I think he's going to be fun to be dad Corey, right? He's not going to be messy, but I think it'll be a fun spot. I'm happy to see Corey back.
Yeah, I'm happy. I had my surprise bucket. I just didn't think he would be back. I thought he had moved on from this. I thought my curse got him and he was gone. But yeah, I think Corey being in the mix is fun. I think he is a fun personality. He's good enough in the challenges to make it interesting. He'll be in the mix. So, you know, I'm happy he's, you know, we can have some of the young bucks in this world.
All right. Speaking of young bucks, let's move to least excited to see who do you have here?
I feel like that was you leaning towards Nelson, and I'm not going to have that happen because he's very much my excited, but we'll get to that later.
I actually don't have him in this book.
Okay. If you asked me this like a year ago, I would say Jay is someone that I was excited to see, but based off seemingly the way you described his poor X on the Beach showing, and it just, I'm not sure he's needed in this show. I feel like at this point, someone else from Survivor should have been breaking this mold, and I'm not happy that it's him.
Yeah, I totally agree with that take. He was also the least excited for me. I am shocked to say this. I think Jay had so much potential from going from Survivor, but then really fizzled out on X on the Beach. For anyone just joining us or needs a refresher, Jay showed up as an ex of Morgan Willits, who is on Big Brother Over the Top. And basically they tried to make it work. And then Morgan was on the challenge. Shacked up with Bananas after the challenge, and they were partners, and Jay, you know, showed up like, you cheated on me on the X on the Beach reunion with Bananas, and she was like, I never cheated on you, but like, we are together now, so with six of one, half dozen of another, whatever. But Jay is showing up here after kind of like being pretty whiny and boring on X on the Beach. Now maybe because he's not in love and pursuing someone, it will be a different Jay and it'll be more interesting and more fun. But it's very unclear to me where Bananas and Jay are going to stand. I think Jay is like number one guy to be targeted for his size and because he's a rookie early on in eliminations.
Yep.
I don't know how he's going to hold his own. Jay did demonstrate a willingness to mouth off to bigger dudes. He went toe to toe. He went tip top toes with Corey from Big Brother, who was on X on the Beach, who's a bigger dude. He maybe because, you know, you're not going to get hit on X on the Beach, but you will get hit in elimination. So I don't know where Jay is going to fall. I don't expect him to see him on here for that long. I almost hope him graduating from X on the Beach to the challenge means that MTV will be willing to dip into the Survivor well even more, because I guess they liked him on X on the Beach if they're bringing him again for the challenge. Yeah, I don't know where him and Banana stand. I wish Morgan was here because I think that would at least be interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen without her there.
Yeah, I think if you're doing a first one out pool, I think Jay's probably one of the first picks you would take for sure. I totally agree. I could see him being gone quickly and then probably never being seen again.
Josh Green says, does Jay have any chance due to his past with Morgan, or is Bananas going to make sure his days are numbered?
Yeah, I think kind of for all the reason you laid out, I think there's a very good chance people can rally behind him as being someone to kind of get their win and go forward from there. So I think Jay's close to drawing dead.
There's also nothing Bananas loves more than an excuse to take the easy like way out without making it look like it's the easy way out. So Bananas is probably going to mouth off about how, like, Jay, you know, Jay cooked his goose was cooked or whatever by what he said about Morgan and how he treated Morgan and how he said things to him, and act like he's all hurt about that, and then put him into elimination, even though it has nothing to do with that and he just wants to go against someone easy.
Yeah, I could see that being the episode one or episode two storyline.
All right, I've lost track. Oh, I think I'm up with least excited, and it's my last person in least excited to see.
Ooh, that's fun.
How do you like that for positivity during these trying times? People are probably going to get at me about this. I don't know if you'll see eye to eye with me on this, but I put Rogan here.
Interesting. Not excited. What and why?
Rogan, to me, is going to be so self-assured and so certain that he can like replicate his game from last season. And to me, like, You cannot replicate that game. This is sort of like how I analyze Survivor returnees when I have to talk about them with Rob. But like, you can't replicate last season. Like, that was so insane that a team would eat themselves, that those dramas would run so deep that people would actively self-sabotage, that people would misunderstand the format of the game, and that you would, you know, almost intentionally not seeing yourself down to having four people, and then that advantages you in the final, and then you win the game. And you screw over a woman that you claim to love, and she still works with you. Like, there's just no way that that could ever happen again. Lightning cannot strike twice like that, and I don't think Rogan is going to recognize that, and he's going to be cocky as hell and to be so annoying. Also, he's not fun. Like, he's not fun at all to me. Like, in a way that Bear's annoying, at least it's fun. Rogan has all of the bad qualities of Bear and none of the joy.
Yeah, I think that's all fair, but I think that's kind of why I'm excited to see him, because I'm waiting for it to all come crumbling down on him. I think that's gonna be fun, that he kind of had this perfect ride last season and it's gonna go very poorly, and I'm kind of excited to see that.
Fair enough. All right, so who do you have next in surprise to see that you want to talk about?
I'm surprised to see Big T back. The fact that she's getting a second call back is quite the upset. I guess she really made a huge impact that, like, basically her elimination episode, the way she battled it in that one, but I was stunned when she was popping up on the cast list.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we did speculate about Big T getting the invite back. I think she has a very memorable name. Like, the fact, for anyone who wants to be on the show, like, get a nickname like Big T and people will just remember you.
Especially if you're little.
I think that helps. I definitely had her in surprise to see, but I do think we did say that there is a chance.
Yeah, I guess I was just, you could speculate that there's a chance, but then to see it happen, I was surprised to say.
Very fair.
I also don't think she's going to do that well, so I think this is her two and done.
I also think that's fair. I'm going to put Mel on the table, another person who was sort of gone very early on in her first two seasons. And I think we also did speculate that potentially she could come back and even questioned why she hadn't been back, because in her relatively short stint, she did bring so much drama that I'm surprised. But I am surprised to see her back because it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's kind of in the same bucket as Kaylee, right? Like, she's from the UK, like a drama, but getting the, like, drama with girls, hooks up with guys, get in the mix and kind of always is good enough in the challenge that she wouldn't be like a liability if it was a team thing, but probably not going to win. So she kind of fits that mold of being able to dabble in all areas and kind of also being like a sort of a bad person. I feel like she did a lot of outside of the game bad stuff, if I remember correctly. So that's, I guess, a little not great, but I mean, a lot of these people aren't that great, so that's okay.
Yeah, I think she brought a lot of drama. She also had one of the better eliminations with Sylvia. That was very memorable. They're all like had oil and balls and whatever, but as dirty as that sounds, it was actually a really, I think it was one of the eliminations that cemented Sylvia as actually a physical player, and Mel really put up a good fight there too. But she ended up going home on that elimination. And then Kayla, it's interesting that Kayla is back with Mel because they were both eliminated on Final Reckoning. I think was it Final Reckoning for physical violence. So another thing to note with Mel, and I don't know if it's going to come up or how it's going to come up, but Mel is pregnant now, and I believe was pregnant, or at least sources are saying that she was pregnant, but maybe didn't know it on this season of the challenge.
Oh,
so interesting. Mel is going to be a mother, so congratulations to Mel. So we may never see her again. We'll see. I mean, Amanda, I think, has said she's done. Not that you can't come back if you have kids. I'd actually like to see more women with kids coming back, because it seems to be no problem for the men to come back. So
I love retirements that like mean nothing. Like, she could, like, Amanda could come back in 2 years. You know, like, to announce that's like one of my favorite things about the challenge is people announcing retirement when, like, you don't have to. You know, like retiring from like baseball where you have to announce that, like, that people don't like sign you when you're done. Like, you could just go away for a couple of years and then come back if you want. I love that.
Yeah, no, that's a commonly discussed trope for us on the challenge. Best. We haven't gotten it in a while, but I kind of do believe Amanda's done. Davon also did like an unnecessary retirement, but We'll see how
apparently
long
I fell for that. Apparently she does that all the time and I fell for it, but she's not on this one. So far I am right.
All right. So let's go back to most excited.
Yeah. I'm super pumped for Ashley. I you know, having her, she's kind of like, to me, like the female Jordan, just like in the mix in every conceivable way. We'll never pull punches. We'll get in fights with anyone off anything. Like it could be the smallest thing. She'll pop off and go crazy. She's obviously one of the better female competitors, having won a couple times. Is, you know, she's one of the strongest female competitors in all facets. So having her in the mix is makes a great season.
Yeah, I had her in my like uncategorized. A lot of the like long standing vets I have, and just sort of the like, what else is there really to say about them? But yeah, I'm never upset to see Ashley. One thing that I think will be very interesting is like, okay, she had the Lavender Ladies, they're all gone. Then she has the family, the not the cult, but the family with Kara and Kaylee and Cam. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some other people, but I don't believe any of them are back. So now Ashley, once again, I mean, maybe with the exception of one person, whatever, you know, she was very against Nani and that faction of people last season. So now we see Ashley once again having to come back with almost no friends and sort of start from scratch. And she's done it before, mm-hmm. but we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, and I think that the reason why she could do it is she doesn't get really emotionally attached to these people. Some people, they form these bonds and they truly do think they're friends and they're gonna, like, they're right off into the sunset with each other. Ashley sees this for what it is, that it is a game, it's for a lot of money, and she's able to build relationships within the show and understand that it's just, you know, it's a means to an end. And I think the fact that she's done it twice, I don't see any reason why she can't do it a third time.
The one thing I disagree with, though, is like, and I tend to agree, but the one thing I disagree with that is that, like, she doesn't get emotional about it. Like, in the game, she is ride or die for those people. And she will jump into fights and pull, and like you said, doesn't pull punches for those people. And then I agree that she, like, can step away and work with the enemy in the next game. But I don't know that those people are going to forget, like, Nani and Jenna by proxy of Nani. Like, will forget that Ashley was there screaming in the bedroom at them too, just like Kara and everyone else.
Yeah, but I also think what Ashley has going for is that she's built up such a level of, like, when she flips off at people, that it's the fact that she gets mad at everyone, I feel like people don't take it as personally, and that she just, like, that's just Ashley being Ashley. So, like, we can't get mad that she's get super mad or crazy and stuff. Like, she kind of has that going for a little bit, that she's, people expect her to do that. So when she does it to you, it's not as surprising or as jarring.
See, that's never worked for me, but we'll see. another person I'm excited to see is Maddie. I love Maddie. Yeah. It's hard to believe this is only her second challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still like, that can't be right.
Yeah, no, that is surprising. Because she made such a big impact.
I love Maddie. Maddie's a beast. Maddie's a good mix, like we've been talking about, of like drama and fun and challenge beast. I don't see people really wanting to go up against Maddie. Also, I put the work in. Maddie's been on Floribama Shore this season. So you know what I did? I followed her to Floribama Shore. she comes from, like, what's a party down south. So it's not that far from her wheelhouse. She got, quote unquote, invited for the weekend by Gus, her dear friend from the challenge. And she started up with Jeremiah, who I think it's like, it's a short trip from the Floribama Shore house to the challenge house for Jeremiah. Yeah. I'm just like putting that out there. But Maddie's so much fun. And Floribama Shore is a fun show. I watched the first season. I didn't keep up with it regularly, but like, it's a fun show to drop into. And Maddie definitely, I think, had the desired effect that MTV wanted, which is that people came to watch. I came to watch it. Mm-hmm. She's just like a barrel of drunk laughs. She's so much fun. She's so smart. I'm thrilled to see her back on the challenge.
Yeah, I think you know, she did super well the first time around. You know, it was at least a season or two ago, so now she's got a sense of what she needs to do to win. I think for females, she's got a great chance to win the season. That's how high her upside is, how close she was last time around. So I think she's going to be in the mix for sure.
She's also going to benefit from, like, she has a close relationship with Kyle from when they were partners. And I think they also like smooched that season, unclear. And Kara's not here. So, like, I do think a lot of people are going to get some room to breathe and room to play on different sides of the house with different relationships without having to just have this blind hatred toward everyone who's scorned Kara.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, most drain out your least excited category. Who else you got?
I got nothing else in there. The only thing I left is surprise and happy.
All right, so maybe let's dip into the everyone else pool instead of least excited, because I guess that's kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my everyone else. I don't know what else there is to say for CT, Wes, and Bananas other than, like, this is, you know, 14, 15, 28 seasons. Like, this is who they are. So, I mean, I guess of those three, like, who do you think any of them can win, or who do you think can, like, has the best chance to win?
I think all of them can win. I don't think all three of them can win together, but I think any given season, to me, Wes, Bananas, and CT, if you, like, roll the dice, one of them will likely be in the final, you know, or one or two of them. Like, I don't think it's insane to keep betting on Bananas, even though it's been fun to see him continually get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I think a very interesting, first of all, Wes's beard is so distracting that like I've gone from a Wes fan to a hater in an instant.
Yeah, he's
one,
like,
lumberjack beard.
Yeah, Dexter series finale thing.
But Jessica Campion has an interesting question about these guys. Wondering how much you think Morgan Willett's outside relationship will influence both Bananas and Wes in the game. Normally, it's Wes's move to pick up the rookies. However, Johnny will likely already know the BB20 rookies. Should we assume the BB Alliance will be guided by Bananas?
It's interesting. The one thing, you know, if this was a few seasons ago, I would say there's a good chance of that. But I think the Bananas mystique has really taken a big hit recently. So I don't know if people are going to be clamoring to work with them. I feel like if you're some of these newbies on Big Brother, you know, you kind of want to make a name for yourself. You don't want to just be thought of as like a linchman follower type person. So I don't know. I don't think Bananas is going to really have like a lot of people on his side. I think people are going to want to, if anything, go after him just to say that they slayed him. And I think that's what we've seen recently. And I don't think that's going to change.
See, I don't know that these, I always wonder if there's ever going to be a season where, you know, the Young Bucks or like whoever is actually going to stage an uprising and Wes and Bananas will have to work together in like a real way. And like, maybe I would say this season is primed for that because they are introducing enough connected Big Brother people. Presumably Jay is somehow connected to the Big Brother people, the Amazing Race person. Like, there's enough rookies that when mixed with like a Jordan and Nelson and Corey and whoever else, like, can sort of band together. But given that I am also speculating that Wes and Bananas are going to be against each other in elimination, and unless it's because they're working together, but I also think that Wes and Bananas know that their value is in being they produce enough of the show to know that their value is in them like being enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen this season, although I'd always welcome it. I do think there's a good likelihood that Morgan and Bananas have been working outside of the game on the Big Brother people. And given how poor their strategy was on Big Brother as an alliance, I think, besides Casey, I do think that Bananas will be able to kind of like scoop them up and lead them, not because of his mystique, not because like he's Bananas, but because A, the format is such that the rookies are really vulnerable, and B, that they may have developed real relationships outside of the show, and Bananas is a charming person.
I was just gonna say, the fact that they were such a poor alliance, I almost think they almost want to overcorrect so much and really show, no, that was like the exception. We can do this stuff. We can do this on our own. We don't need someone. So I almost think that even further goes that they're going to want to try to prove that they can do this on their own.
I mean, but what is, you can't do the challenge on your own, right? Like, I almost think that would be, I don't think it's impossible because I don't think they're such a bright strategic bunch, but that would be so stupid, right? Like, you do have to, like, Tori is as being one of the most successful rookies to enter from a non-real world road rule show and like really ingratiate themselves. Like, did she have the most exciting rookie season? No, but I do think if you're learning the game at all, right, and I'm not saying you're not saying this, but like, it makes no sense to come in as like the four Big Brother people and be like, we're not working with anyone in the house.
Yeah, not even more so not working with anyone, but not wanting to at least pick who you're working with and like you bring them in, or like you feeling like you're choosing to go and not wanting just to be like under someone. I think they're going to build an alliance. They're going to want to be in the mix calling shots and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's bold. That would be very bold and not impossible. But I do think the advantage that Bananas has of having the Big Brother connection could sort of get around that, right? Like, yeah. Oh, Bananas isn't calling our shots. We're friends with him. We know him. And we have a seat at the table, even though no one has a seat at the table with Bananas.
Yeah, no,
Morgan doesn't even have a seat at the table with Bananas.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting twist to what we typically see with rookies coming in, for sure.
But to that end, I think it's fair that Wes's strategy won't work on them as well, of like maybe everyone's seen through that enough to know that like they're not going to be manipulated by him. But it'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem like the biggest force for cerebral power, right? in my mind.
Right.
And interestingly, you know, Casey was not aligned with them, but I don't know that will. Like old Big Brother wounds maybe have healed, or maybe they haven't.
Yeah, and it's not like Casey was like that cutthroat the whole process, so that probably makes it easier.
Okay, where are we? So I'll pick someone from everyone else. Bear is sort of everyone else to me, not in a way that I'm not excited. Like, mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Bear. We know what Bear brings. Bear's not going to change. Great. Yeah. He's become a better challenge competitor. Okay, good for Bear.
Yeah, I mean, Bear is what he is. The fact that Kaylee, or however you say it, is just discovering who Bear is would be fun. But I mean, this is going to be Bear for the foreseeable future.
All right, back up to most excited. Anyone else here?
Yeah, I mean, I love that Nelson's in the mix. I he's just such a lovable guy that, you know, he loves this show, and it's just fun to see his passion. I'm happy to see him. You know, we'll see if him and Corey, what the deal is with them, who he tries to stupidly hook up with and make a fool out of himself. So it'll be fun to have Nelson back.
Nelson is someone I'm surprised to see back. I think we kind of like got all the juice out of Nelson. I don't know what else Nelson adds. Jonathan Lilia says, do you think Young Bucks stand a chance this season? Maybe set up the Young Bucks for anyone new.
Yeah, so the Young Bucks, led by, this was a few seasons ago, Hunter, Corey, Nelson, someone else in there. I think it was just those three.
Yeah, it was them.
They tried to lead kind of the coalition that you were describing before, about the new people coming in not being led by the older veterans. They wanted to take charge of the game, and you know, they failed miserably. So this we could see if they could try to rekindle that with some new Young Bucks in the mix, maybe some UK Young Bucks, as we have ambulance swirling by. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the Young Bucks history. We've kind of had Young Bucks all through the history, and the challenge, this was like when they put a name to it, but maybe this time around they can have a little bit more success.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. I think they were sort of ahead of their time. I think now the challenge is more prime for people who are willing to take out Bananas and Wes and go against them, like you've been describing before, for Big Brother people. So I think there's more room to play than there was when they were the Young Bucks. Nelson has had sort of a rough relationship road recently to catch people up. Nelson was with Angela, who's one of my favorites, who's on the challenge. I would love to see her back. She started on Bad Girls Club, then she was on X on the Beach, then she was on the challenge. She had a thing with Bananas, she had a thing with Nelson. She was dating Nelson. They broke up because Nelson cheated on her. You could watch YouTubes about it. Then they got back together, and then very recently they just broke up again, and I don't know that she's put out a video yet about what happened. I don't think it was on the challenge, but who knows? So, you know, Nelson, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not upset to see him, but I don't know what other juice is left there.
So who else we got?
He is messy, though. He is fully messy.
He is.
All right, I'm gonna put up Kayla. We talked about her, but I'm happy to see Kayla back for her fifth time. I think there's more to come out of Kayla. I think she's been sent home for violence. Hopefully she doesn't escalate to that point again.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about her relationship drama, which, you know, I'm going to be here for. Her and Kate and Jenna are like the Wonder Twins. So maybe we're going to see her, Jenna and Nani, the Wonder Triplets. And she's a good competitor. So I'm excited to see Kayla.
Yeah. For me, like Jennifer, not Amazing Race Jennifer, UK Jennifer. Clearly gonna be one of the strongest females again. Decent chance to win. Doesn't really add much elsewhere, but you know.
Oh, are you jumping in with another most excited to see after Nelson?
I was jumping into another just like this is just someone else there. I no one else listed in any other bucket other than just
excited to see, Kayla. Also, I have Jenny, who you're talking about, perfect in excited to see. So keep going. I was just roasting you.
what should change? She doesn't really add much personality wise. I don't think she's getting mixed up in fights and stuff like that, but she's a fantastic competitor. She lost a unbelievable elimination to Tori last season, so I'm sure she's gonna want to remedy that. And I think she'll be a good competitor to get in the mix with.
See, I'm hoping that Jenny has, like, I think there she has more to give. I'm really excited to see Jenny. I think she's fit as hell, to borrow a British expression, but she's very fit. She's one of the most athletic women to come on the challenge in a long time. And she's got strong bonds with Jordan and Tori. Like, despite the fact that Tori took her out, they were really close. It was not like something they wanted to do, go against each other. So I think she's really well positioned in a lot of like the powerhouse people with the powerhouse people on the show. And I have faith that like she has more to give. I just think like she didn't have a lot of room to play last season.
Yeah, that's all very true.
Okay, I still have one person. I have two people left in surprise.
Okay.
I'm stunned to see a softback. I'm truly stunned. I kept forgetting, like, even though this cast was leaked, and then I looked at the cast announcement, and then when I went to do my prep for this, I continued to be surprised. Four times I was surprised that he's on this season.
A lot of times.
And they don't even list. What's crazy is the MTV website does not even list the MTV credits for Jay and Asaf, but whatever. Asaf has been on Big Brother Israel. He's been on So You Think You Could Dance. He's also been on two iterations of Ari the One. He was Tori's perfect match, I think. And they were on Ari the One, like Second Chance at Love and Happiness or whatever together. I'm just talking out of my behind now, so I hope that's correct. So who knows what Tori and Asaf's relationship has been? I do not know. But I guess I'm excited to see him. I'm just really surprised.
Yeah. I'm so surprised that they wouldn't list that, like, the other MTV show he was on. That's just, like, classic MTV just to do that. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he can do for himself.
I mean, he's athletic. He's, like, a dancer. But he's crazy, and he's done weird stuff outside of the show also. But for sure. So is everyone.
Yeah. I guess I am sort of excited to see Kyle, only because I'm excited to see Kyle without Paulie there. So I think that'll be fun. Just to see what storyline and stuff that develops with him, that he's not shadowed by this Cara Paulie love triangle. So in that respect, I'm excited to see what Kyle does this season, because he just doesn't have that looming over him the whole time.
Fair enough. Also, I think I'm really wrong about what I just said about Ari the One, so I need to pull this up. okay, yeah, he was not at all Tori's perfect match, like not even close. So everyone just leave me alone. It's been a long time. So, but they were on the same season, I think. I don't know, whatever. Everyone just leave me alone. No one cares. Who even remembers us off? Okay. Although people were, you know, a couple people were reminding me that one of my best and only good impressions from the podcast was my impression of Asaf. An Israeli impression is like one of the only impressions I can do. So maybe we'll bring that back. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Say that. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah, everyone get excited. Okay. What else we got? I'm still looking at,
what about the Amazing Race? Yeah. What about the Amazing Race girl?
Yeah, I'm surprised to see her. I did talk to Jessica Lise and some other Amazing Race fans. Her name is Jen Lee. Jessica Lee says she was the first one out on her season, and that's really all she had. She also directed me to look at her ridiculously anatomically improbable body, which is normally not for us all to comment on, but it's like, go to her Instagram. It's like wild. Like her, it's just, she has the smallest waist of anyone I've ever seen in my life. So for anyone who's like, why is she the first one eliminated on Amazing Race and on the challenge, go to her Instagram. I'm sorry, but that's clearly why she's on the show.
There you go.
She's stunningly beautiful. I'm looking at her Amazing Race bio, 'cause like, what can we find? Okay, she's a professional model. She's from California. We'll describe what you do. Hang out in front of cameras. Smiley emoticon. Okay. Good for the challenge. Favorite hobbies: swimming in any sort of body of water, running down the beach, hiking with my boxer Bronson, and anything outdoorsy or crazy I'm in. Sounds like she's describing the challenge as her hobby. I don't know what else to say about her. MTV gave us nothing. Apparently she didn't give anything to The Amazing Race, and she's like stunningly beautiful. So I'm surprised, if only because The Amazing Race does not seem to have the overlap in the audience. Like,
you wouldn't think so. You know,
my grandma watches The Amazing Race. She's not like coming over to the challenge to watch the first boot of The Amazing Race.
Right.
Did you have any thoughts on her? No, have you been to her Instagram?
I just popped over there, and your descriptions were accurate.
I mean, don't let your wife see you on that Instagram, let me tell you.
Close it immediately.
I think D is the last person we haven't talked about, unless we're doing shit we normally do, which is we forget someone
on the show. I proud of myself. I was marking off each person along the way. That's the only person I have left.
I also have nothing really to say about D. D came from, like, everyone doubted her. She's proved them wrong. She won. She's coming off a win. She's got ex drama. So, like, I'm here for D.
Yeah, I'm fine. You know, I think it almost would have been, we would have been probably left wanting more from D if she wasn't on this season. I think it would have been almost strategically good for her to not to be there, but then I guess she could be forgotten about. So she's in the mix. I'm fine with it. I don't know.
I think she's back at the right time. Maybe after the, like, I feel like people still need to see the Rogan D payoff being me because she didn't know what happened on the show. So I'm excited to see her come back pissed.
Yeah, that's fine. But her being there is good. If she wasn't there, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, where is D?
Cindy Boland says, who are you most excited to see? Well, we already talked about that. But who is missing?
Let's run it all back.
No. But who is, I pulled this because who is missing that you wish was there?
Kara, for sure. We need her. No.
Can't prank me a second time.
Yeah. I don't have anyone top of mind that I'm drastically missing. I mean, there was some like classy names like Laurel, Emily, stuff like that, but like reasonable. There's someone that like I feel like is starvingly missing.
I Lira and Cam are not here.
Yeah,
which that's okay. I think Cam has more to give. Leroy, like, you know, last season, Leroy really
he broke our hearts last season. We need like a season. We can't go through that again. We need to.
I could go through it again. I wish Leroy was there. They do appear to still be together. At least they've recently posted mushy Instagram posts. I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Corey's back, Ed Nelson's on, they probably, you know, Hunter being in the mix would, for those three to be together again, would have been more fun.
No, I'm fine with Hunter.
Okay.
People I'm fine with not being here, but that are noticeably absent. Ninja. Yeah. Thrilled to not see her back this season.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
You mentioned Kara, but we're going to have to talk about it. Jonathan Foreman says, what effect will the lack of Kara and Polly have on the season?
Well, if someone gets engaged, everyone can have a fun time. That's for sure.
I think, like, finally, like, people are free. Like, Dobby is free. Like, MTV's given us a sock, and we're going to get to see people play without, like, free from the shackles of Kara's, like, death stare and negativity. And I think this season is going to have a lot more joy and be a lot more fun as a result.
Yeah. And not even the players are free. I think we're free because she just, like, that was just, it just took up, like, so much of the show that it would just, like, suck energy out of it. So the fact that, like, the show doesn't have to focus on it, because of course they're going to have to focus on it because it took up so much of the drama and what people were talking about. So the fact that the show doesn't have to deal with it, it will allow so much other stuff to blossom.
Lauren Pratt says, which rookie do you guys think will be the most successful this season?
I mean, like, successful to go furthest, I think, is probably Casey. I think she probably has the best chance to really make a, because I think she's already probably one of the strongest females. So I think she's got the best chance to do that.
Well, I was going to say that too. I guess I did convince you that she looks physical. Just kidding. But I also think Casey.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle Picard says, it's been a while since we've seen people who are somewhat regular for a second. Who were somewhat regular for a second, like Brittany, Tony. Oh, I understand. Okay.
Oh, Tony.
It's been a while since we've seen
I miss Tony.
Somewhat regular for some people who were regulars for a second, like Brittany, Tony, Marie, Sylvia, Jemmy, Devin. Do you think we'll see them on the challenge again, or will recruiting from shows outside of MTV continue to be the priority?
No, I think we see people come back. I'm sure Tony probably gets calls, and I'm sure he's probably saying no with him having kids and stuff. I that's probably why he's saying no. But I think given the right time, I don't see any reason why those people can't come back.
Yeah, I mean, Jemmy and Marie both kind of got, quote, and Devin got, like, quote unquote, offloaded to X on the Beach. But I don't think that, like, means they're offloaded to X on the Beach. I don't know. It seems like, you know, MTV is able to get people who, like, are drama starters who also, like, compete better than maybe Jemmy and Marie. But I will always be here for Jemmy and Marie coming onto the challenge. Jemmy was on X on the Beach, Peak of Love. She did not have love interests, but she still was like the narrator of that show inexplicably. She had no reason to be there. Mm-hmm. It was like kind of amazing. Another person I'll shout out from X on the Beach is Marlon, who was there.
Ooh, miss him.
Marlon was phenomenal on X on the Beach, Peak of Love. He's a jerk. You know, like he's a total F-boy, but he is one of the most interesting TV characters. First of all, he would be a physical specimen. Yep. He also is extremely fluid. He was like open to literally everyone on the show in a way that got him in trouble. But it was so refreshing to see someone just like and we're seeing it a lot on MTV with Are You the One and X on the Beach. But Marlon is true to himself in a way that I don't think has like transferred from Are You the One, the fluid season and X on the Beach to the challenge. And not to discount what like Laurel did coming into her own on the challenge. But for the most part, I think we have still the remnants of like bigots past who keep showing up on the challenge. And we have great people on Are You the One and X on the Beach who are not making that jump. I think Marlon would be a phenomenal person to make that, to bridge that gap, who is of the world of the challenge.
Yeah, I think him being in the mix on X on the Beach is definitely increases his chance, because like for people, someone like him, like him, just his old, like he wouldn't get a call to come back on the show unless he got his name back out there. So the fact that he's on that show definitely adds his chance to come back, which would be fun. I think he was only on his one season and he was very successful, very entertaining, so him coming back would be a lot of fun.
All right, so speaking of Kyle Picard, what do we want to do about the drinking game? Do we want to pick a couple of keepers, or
Let's start fresh. I think we can.
We usually keep a couple keepers for the first episode.
But I'm sure if we start fresh and choose some, we're probably going to pick some anyway. Because I mean, there's only so many things to go around. So we could just probably just start fresh, and if we just duplicate. We could just do that. Unless you had a specific one you really wanted to keep.
I hadn't looked at it yet. I expected us to put a few on for the first episode, but we don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, some of the ones I would want, I guess, are theoretically keepers anyway. Like I love looking out for Date Night DJ, so I guess if we're doing that, I'll keep that.
No, we could. This is your thing. So we'll start. Are we start fresh next week, or not next week? Whenever this show starts, 2 weeks.
Wait, is it?
I'm just gonna be here next week.
Is it next week? It is next week, right?
Today's, it is next week.
It is next week. Time's a flat circle right now. I know, but it is the next week.
Okay, so should we start next week or should we start now?
Well, why don't we each keep two for the premiere and then we'll build from there. We'll start
okay,
with
you
four.
Start because I have not looked at. So Kyle sent us a list of every. I expected to just do it from last season, but he has sent us every rule that's ever been used, which is like brutal. So
like looking back at your middle school yearbook or something.
Jeez. Okay, so you start because I have to look at this.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep dating like TJ. I like looking out when TJ's wearing a button down and his hair is slicked back, and he knows going out for a nice dinner afterwards. So I love having that one.
Okay, I think that's a good one. Do you have your second one, or should I pick?
I think this was a fun one to track. Any uses of British slang, just because they are
that's
part
what
of
I was
this world.
Use. Why did I let you get that one in?
Yeah, that sucks. There you go. There's my toe.
I love this. I'm not going to use it, but I love Ashley bringing up being rich. That's such a good one. Oh, I don't know who, but
it would be very funny if he chose to keep like one of the, like if there's one very specific to a season. That like obviously would have no chance to go. I'm scrolling through. Let's like.
All right, I'm gonna do one of those, but I don't think there's no chance to come up. We don't know. This is gonna be rogue. We don't know what the format is, but let's say he uses the phrase "burn vote."
Like it. Here's one that I can almost guarantee will not come back. How about Devon says ass?
Imagine in the first episode they like play a flashback to Devon. All right. Let's do an old classic. I don't think either of mine are really going to come up, but I like this one. I feel like we haven't brought this back in a while. Watch, it was probably on last season.
Right.
And you alluded to it in the intro. I think this is a good one to get people who are new to the game it understanding the challenge. Producers change rule on the fly.
There you go. It's a classic.
I don't know that's happening episode one. I did not really have an eye on the premiere in the two that I picked.
No, but that's one that comes back in like episode six after like you have a clear understanding of the rules and then all of a sudden like, you know, it's no longer a time challenge and it's based off like whatever finish and you're like, what just happened?
Okay. Anything else to talk about here?
I don't think so. Someone tweeted about the premiere being 2.5 hours. I think that's wrong. I think it is 1.5 hours and then maybe there's an after show, but I don't think the actual premiere is 2.5 hours.
No, I also think somebody later tweeted that like that's happened before where like that has been wrong and then it's 90 minutes. So I think every episode is 90 minutes this season.
And I do like that it's 8 to 9:30 and not 9 to 10:30, a little bit earlier. Although it goes against
Survivor fans feel.
Yeah, that's true. But you got DVR, so.
Okay. So a couple things to plug. We are up for bid currently. A spot on this podcast is up for bid. I don't know the link. But you can look at my Twitter. I retweeted it. I'll pin the tweet. And up until, I think, bidding, let me look at when bidding closes really quick. But you can bid to be a guest on our podcast and benefit students at Michigan Law who are pursuing public interest careers, so working in areas of law that don't pay very well. It's a myth that every lawyer makes a ton of money, but they're doing really great work that's essential work for the world. So another thing to note is because of what's going on right now, the auction is not happening in the way that it would normally happen and yada, yada, yada. We really need your support. So we're doing it again. We got asked to do it again. I did not seek this out because it was such a popular item last season. So thank you guys for making us look good and raising a ton of money last year. And we'd love to do it again. It will be open until this Thursday at midnight Eastern time, 11:59 Eastern time. So if you want to join us on this podcast, that's how you do it.
That's Thursday the 26th, right? Just in case, I don't know when this is. Thursday the 26th, just to clarify. Oh, true.
Maybe this podcast won't be up by then. We'll see. But I will be tweeting about it. And then one thing, Challenge Mania, not that they need us to plug their podcast, they've been doing some really interesting stuff on brackets. On brackets, like of all these, what are they doing? Like historic players. Mm-hmm. And they've had people be voting on Twitter and they've been talking about it for hours. So that's a cool thing if you're looking for more content before the season starts. I've been doing a lot of podcasts as my response to this coronavirus psychosis craziness is to just say yes to every podcast that comes in front of me. So I did a couple podcasts on 32 Fans talking about ranking Seinfeld characters. I did a podcast on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast about the Bracket of Brackets, which is super stupid but fun if you want to just laugh at us being stupid. I think that's it.
Yeah, I did every podcast I got asked to as well. Which is why you can only find me here.
We're working on it. We're on deck. I'll do a little blind item. Brian and I are scheduled to appear on a Robin Akiva podcast, but it has not come up yet on the wheel. So there you go.
Likely story.
Leave it to the fates. That's all I have, though.
All right. I'm excited for the season. It'll be fun. Total madness.
That'll be good.
Yeah, that's all I got. You can subscribe, robinswebsite.com/challengeiTunes, especially in the beginning. If you want, subscribe, 5 stars. It does bump us up in the ratings. People can find us, share it, be nice. Follow me on Twitter, @Cohen with a C, Brian_. Follow you.
It would be nice, @LashTweets.
So we'll be back next week for the premiere. Until then, have a good one.
This is Rob Cesternino thanking you for listening to this episode of our reality TV wrap-ups. Shows like this are made possible because of you, the listener, and the support of our RHAP patron community, connecting reality TV fans around the globe. To start getting access to all of the perks of becoming a patron, visit us at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Hope you enjoyed the show.